Imagine you're relying on this highly advanced GPS system, right?
Right.
You're navigating a really treacherous mountain road in the dead of night.
Yeah, which is stressful enough on its own.
Exactly. And for months, it's been totally flawless. But suddenly, it loses its satellite connection.
Okay.
But instead of flashing an error screen or, you know, sounding an alarm, it does something way more dangerous. It just starts confidently predicting the road based on where it thinks you should go.
Oh, wow.
Right. It renders this perfect high-definition map on your screen, guiding you seamlessly right toward a cliff edge. I mean, you wouldn't know there was a problem until you were already in free fall.
Right. And that phenomenon, that's called a silent failure. And when you transpose that exact scenario from a car's dashboard into, well, the administrative networks of critical national infrastructure, the implications are just staggering.
Which perfectly brings us to our mission today. Because for you listening, sitting as a senior UK cybersecurity leader overseeing government networks and critical infrastructure, we are looking at exactly what is shifting your attack surface right now.
Exactly.
We're skipping the consumer gadget news, you know, the stock ticker updates, the generic chatbot tips. Today's deep dive is purely focused on the June 10th, 2026 intelligence briefing.
Yeah, looking specifically at the latest Frontier Lab releases and what these developments actually mean for enterprise security and UK AI governance.
So to start, I mean, what is the core shift we're unpacking here?
The fundamental shift is that AI has decisively crossed this threshold. It's gone from being an interactive novelty to a high autonomy software engineer.
Right.
We are no longer evaluating these models based on, you know, how cleverly they answer a text prompt. We're looking at models that can execute long horizon agentic workflows.
Meaning they're navigating multi-step tasks across enterprise environments.
Completely without human intervention, yeah. And for anyone defending critical infrastructure, I mean, this completely rewrites the rules of engagement.
Okay, let's get into the mechanics of that, because the capability baseline in the latest data is, well, it's intense. Look at the real-world integration of GPT-5.5 and Codex happening over at Nextdoor right now.
Yeah, that's a perfect example.
Their engineers aren't just using it to, you know, spit out isolated Python scripts anymore. They have it investigating incredibly subtle, hard-to-reproduce bugs. And it's deploying features across multiple platforms simultaneously.
Which is wild.
It is. How does a model actually manage that level of architectural context?
It really comes down to the evolution of state retention and context windows. So historically, if an engineer is hunting a bug that only triggers under very specific conditions, say, a race condition between an iOS app and a backend database.
Right. Total nightmare to find.
Exactly. They'd have to manually set up varied testing environments, trace the logic through all these different code bases, and essentially hold all that architectural context in their head.
Yeah.
But GPT 5.5 is holding the entire cross-platform state simultaneously. It can spin up a hypothesis, write a test script, run it in a sandbox, observe the failure, and then iterate on the underlying code base.
Across both platforms.
Across both platforms, yeah, without a human explicitly prompting each step.
So the human engineer is no longer really a coder. They're basically a project manager overseeing an automated execution loop.
That's exactly what it is.
And for, say, a CISO managing UK government departments, that speed is a massive double-edged sword.
Yeah.
Like, yes, your teams can theoretically deploy patches to legacy infrastructure at lightning speed.
Right.
But adversaries are tapping into that exact same autonomous capability to map networks and generate bespoke exploit chains just as fast. It's like, let's say you give everyone on the battlefield an industrial 3D printer.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah. Our defenders can print reinforced walls at lightning speed, but the attackers can print the exact wrecking balls needed to tear them down just as fast.
It's a great analogy. The asymmetry of cyber warfare is collapsing. Attackers just don't need months of manual reconnaissance to build a cross-platform exploit anymore.
Terrifying.
It is. And that reality becomes even sharper when we look at the release of Claude Fable 5. Because the system documentation explicitly states this model is not designed for lightweight conversational interaction.
Right. It's not a chatbot.
No, it is a resource-heavy architecture engineered specifically for intensive reasoning and complex agentic workflows.
So if we think about CNI operations, let's say managing the automated logistics for the national grid or the internal telemetry for a regional water treatment facility, introducing a model like Claude Fable 5 completely changes your operational vulnerability.
Absolutely.
Because if the human is just managing the AI agent and the agent is holding all the context for this massive multi-step system, What happens when it inevitably drifts?
Well, that is the core vulnerability. These models are executing so many autonomous steps that maintaining logical consistency over time requires strict, persistent oversight.
Right.
And honestly, that oversight is becoming practically impossible because of the sheer volume of output. Andrés Carpathy recently coined a term that perfectly captures this era. He calls it the software on tap economy.
Software on tap, right? So the friction of human labor, specialized knowledge, and time has essentially been removed from software generation.
Exactly. The cost of production is plunging towards zero. And when code generation is free and instantaneous, the natural enterprise result is just an absolute explosion of bespoke applications.
There's a specific project cited in the data that illustrates this perfectly. ILM.32A3.
Yes.
It's a fully functional software system produced by Claude Fable 5 with almost zero human intervention. We aren't talking about a single clever algorithm to sort a database. The model generated the architecture, mapped the dependencies, built the error handling, and delivered a cohesive system.
Which forces a really profound reckoning for traditional security infrastructure. I mean, for decades, enterprise cyber workflows have relied on the bottleneck of human verification.
Right.
A developer writes code, commits it to a repository, it goes through peer review, hits a staging environment, runs through static application security testing, or SAST, and eventually gets deployed.
Okay, wait, I have to pause here. Because if an internal department just generated a custom app using Claude Fable 5, standard protocol says it still has to hit our staging environment, right?
In theory, yes.
It still runs through our SAST tools. So doesn't my traditional vetting process just catch whatever the AI hallucinates?
Yeah.
Why does the pipeline completely shatter?
It shatters because of the math. Standard security review processes are calibrated for human output speeds.
What?
Let's say your SAST tool typically flags, I don't know, 200 potential vulnerabilities a month from your engineering team. Your security analyst can triage that. It's manageable.
Right.
But in a software on tap economy, every department, HR, logistics, procurement, they're suddenly generating dozens of custom applications a week to optimize their workflows.
Oh, wow. So the SAS tool isn't flagging 200 issues. It's flagging 20,000.
Precisely. And when a human security team is hit with a fire hose of 20,000 architectural alerts from code they didn't even design, they physically cannot verify the integrity of every line.
They just drown.
Yeah. The system doesn't just buckle. It devolves into a rubber stamp. Security teams experience massive alert fatigue, and out of sheer operational necessity, they start auto-approving internally generated tools just to keep the business moving.
And that auto-approval is essentially expanding the attack surface exponentially.
Yeah.
I mean, every bespoke dashboard, every automated data sorting script generated by an employee trying to save an hour of their day, it becomes a potential vector.
Exactly. The bottleneck is no longer code generation. The bottleneck is human verification. And unvetted AI-generated applications are absolutely going to end up in production environments.
Which leads us directly into, honestly, the most concerning technical reality of this deep dive.
Yeah.
If traditional code review is becoming a rubber stamp, and we have autonomous software on tap actively running in our environments, how do we even monitor it?
Yep.
If we go back to that GPS analogy from earlier, we have to talk about the Claude Fable 5 system card warnings regarding silent failures.
Right, because in critical national infrastructure, deterministic reliability is mandatory. A valve in a water treatment plant opens or it doesn't. A power relay trips or it doesn't.
There's no room for guessing.
No, you cannot have non-deterministic, probabilistic behavior managing those systems without extreme safeguards.
And a silent failure in one of these models isn't a traditional software crash. It doesn't throw a visible error code on your screen. It doesn't trigger a system alert that a security team can instantly flag.
No, a silent failure is essentially semantic drift. The agentic model stops executing the intended logic, but continues to operate. It produces outputs that look entirely valid on the surface.
It's like having a brilliant assistant who suddenly starts doing the structural math wrong, but delivers it with the exact same confident tone and formatting.
That's a great way to put it. The database still updates, the logs still show activity, but the underlying reasoning has corrupted.
And when you introduce the rising threat of prompt injection into that environment, the risk just multiplies. Let's walk through a realistic scenario for a second.
Okay.
Say an employee at a government agency uses GPT 5.5 to write an autonomous script. And this script's job is to read incoming vendor emails, extract the invoice data, and update an internal supply chain database.
Which is a perfect use case for an agentic workflow, honestly.
Totally. But if an attacker sends a carefully crafted email containing a prompt injection payload hidden in white text, or maybe embedded in an attached PDF, that autonomous script reads it.
Right. And because it's an AI agent, not a rigid hard-coded script, it interprets that malicious payload as a new set of instructions.
So it might just silently absorb the command, alter its own operational logic, and begin forwarding copies of every single invoice to an external server.
Yes. And this is the critical point for a cybersecurity leader listening right now. Because the script never crashed and the original invoices are still being processed normally, the security team is completely blind to the breach. The telemetry data that standard endpoint detection relies on, you know, memory faults, unexpected crashes, none of it triggers. The AI is simply doing what it was told to do by the injected prompt.
So if auditing the final compile code is impossible due to volume, and traditional endpoint monitoring can't catch semantic drift or silent prompt injections, I mean, how does a security team actually defend this architecture?
Well, you have to undergo a massive tactical pivot. You must move your defensive perimeter entirely. You can no longer rely on auditing the output. You have to audit the prompt pipeline and the underlying model instructions.
Okay, let's break down the mechanics of that. What does auditing a prompt pipeline actually look like in a live CNI environment?
It means putting a semantic firewall between the LLM's reasoning engine and the internal systems it interacts with. You cannot just grant an agentic model direct API access to your databases.
Right.
You have to implement strict input validation for the prompts themselves. You're ensuring that external data, like those vendor emails, is totally scrubbed of executable instructions before it ever reaches the model's context window.
So you're essentially isolating the model's reasoning capabilities from its execution capabilities.
Yes, exactly. And you also need continuous telemetry monitoring for semantic behavior. Instead of looking for code errors, you use secondary, smaller, highly deterministic models to constantly evaluate the outputs of your primary agent.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, so if the primary agent suddenly shifts its tone or starts requesting access to directories it rarely touches, the secondary monitor flags it for semantic drift and severs the API connection before the action is executed.
That requires an entirely new discipline. You aren't just looking for syntax vulnerabilities anymore. You are evaluating the linguistic constraints and behavioral baselines of an autonomous agent.
Exactly.
But here's the massive blind spot. Securing that technical pipeline assumes you actually know the AI tool exists in the first place.
Right.
And as we see in government networks right now, the explosion of shadow AI makes it a very dangerous assumption.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we've dealt with shadow IT for years, you know, employees quietly using unauthorized software because standard procurement is just too slow. But shadow AI is an entirely different beast.
How so?
Because the cost and technical barrier to generate software is near zero now. Internal teams aren't just buying unauthorized tools. They are building custom, highly integrated software systems completely off the books.
Like a logistics manager at the Department of Transport could use Claude Fable 5 over the weekend to build a custom tracking dashboard. And it integrates with live traffic data and internal fleet schedules.
Yeah, happens all the time.
And they completely bypass the UK's standard security vetting and procurement processes because to them, they didn't really buy software. They just had a chat with an AI.
Right. It works beautifully for their team, but it is completely invisible to you as the CISO. You have an unvetted, highly privileged piece of software executing agentic workflows on your network, and you have zero governance over its prompt pipeline.
This transforms a technical challenge into an urgent policy nightmare for UK and EU regulators. I know the UK AI Safety Institute, or AISI, and the Department for Science, Innovation and Technology, DSIT, are trying to draft policy frameworks.
They are.
But those frameworks were designed for a world where software was static and procurement took years.
Exactly. How do you regulate an ad hoc internal tool that didn't even exist on Friday and might be fundamentally modified by its users on Monday? Regulators are realizing that you just cannot certify a static snapshot of a dynamic intelligence.
And the briefing data takes this governance challenge even further when we look at the Claude F15 system card, because the documentation explicitly flags the risks of models capable of accelerating their own development.
Yeah, self-improving systems.
Right. We are looking at the realities of self-improving systems. If I am a regulator or a CISO, how do we even begin to certify a system like Claude F15? It feels like trying to inspect a skyscraper for building code violations while the building is actively adding new floors, rewiring its own electricity, and rerouting its plumbing overnight.
That's spot on.
By the time I stamp the certification, the architecture has fundamentally changed.
Which is exactly why the regulatory paradigm has to shift. UK governance cannot focus on certifying the product anymore. DSIT and the AISI are going to have to pivot towards certifying the boundaries and the monitoring mechanisms surrounding the product.
That makes sense.
For a self-improving system, you don't certify the model's code. You certify the rigid sandbox it operates within and the semantic telemetry used to monitor its drift.
So for a cyber leader in critical infrastructure, your mandate in 2026 isn't just defending against external nation-state attacks anymore. It's establishing robust internal governance frameworks to continuously discover, capture, and sandbox this internally generated shadow AI.
Exactly. The threat model has completely inverted. The vulnerability is no longer just coming from the outside in, it is being autonomously and often helpfully generated from the inside out.
We've covered a massive amount of ground today. We started by unpacking the new capability baseline, you know, how the context retention of GPT 5.5 and the agentic reasoning of Claude Fable 5 are compressing the speed of both defense and attack.
And we looked at the sheer volume generated by the software on tap economy. We discussed why traditional security review processes and SaaS tools are basically devolving into rubber stamps under the weight of all this AI-generated architecture.
We explored the invisible threat of silent failures and prompt injections, realizing that when an AI stops reasoning correctly, it doesn't crash. It just confidently executes flawed logic.
Wow.
Which means defending these networks requires auditing the prompt pipeline and building semantic firewalls.
Yeah. And finally, we examine the governance crisis of shadow AI and self-improving systems like Claude F15, highlighting the urgent need for UK regulators and CNI leaders to shift from certifying static products to certifying behavioral boundaries.
The frontier of AI isn't about better chatbots anymore. It's about managing an autonomous digital workforce operating within your most sensitive networks. So as you log off and head into your next high-level strategy meeting, consider this. The most dangerous threat to your infrastructure this quarter might not be a sophisticated external exploit probing your firewalls.
No, it might be an incredibly helpful, highly efficient shadow AI dashboard generated over the weekend by a well-meaning department head.
Exactly. It will work perfectly, seamlessly, integrating into your critical databases, right up until it suffers a silent failure. How resilient is your current CNI architecture if the critical logic it relies on was built by an AI, procured by nobody, and is silently hallucinating its own instructions in real time? Think about that. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive. Stay secure out there.